Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 15th. Who wouldn't you vote for in 2008? That's the title of our guest's recent piece on Reason Online that examined the results of a Gallup USA Today poll that wanted to find out how intolerant we would be toward various characteristics in a presidential candidate. Like, would we elect a black president, or a woman, or a Mormon, or an old person? Or how about someone who has been married three times? And we'll also talk about a Gallup USA Today poll, a newer one, that found out that we care more about a candidate's character and integrity and honesty than we do about that candidate's stances on issues. We'll talk about how both of these polls fit into the race for 08 and who is actually ahead in the horse race polls. Specifically, why would a significant number of poll respondents say that they would not vote for someone who has been married three times and at the same time give candidate Rudy Giuliani, who's been married three times, a big lead in the race for 08? We'll also talk some about Newt Gingrich's recent admission of having an affair while he was impeaching President Clinton. Will that hurt his chances of winning over Republican voters or conservative voters? So let's talk about character issues and the presidential race. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Send an email with your question or comment to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Brian Doherty. He is senior editor of Reason Magazine. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And I know it's very early in the morning on the West Coast, so thanks a lot for joining us.
You're quite welcome.
So why do you think we would say we don't want to vote for a candidate who's been married three times, yet give Rudy Giuliani the lead in the race?
I think we're confused. That's a wonderful little contradiction you point out, which to me really raises a lot of questions about how much value the things that we say to, you know, a pollster who catches us at home on the phone, especially nearly 2 years before the election, and what's actually going to happen when we get in the voting booth. And it's also a distinction between a reaction to an abstract idea, guy who's been married three times, we don't think we like that, and our reaction to a guy who we think we know and think we have other reasons to like, Rudy Giuliani. Lots of right-wing voters really love the way he presented himself post 9/11. He seems to be the strong leader type they like. He seems to have the get tough attitude toward international Islam that they like. Americans may think they have these prejudices when they're expressed abstractly, but we do tend to be both a practical people and a forgiving people. And when that abstract prejudice comes down to a real person, I think the real person's qualities are going to overwhelm our alleged abstract dislike. And I think even the most religious portion of the right wing and the conservatives seem willing to go for Giuliani despite his personal problems, not only married three times, but admittedly had an affair with wife number three while married to wife number two. But I ultimately don't think it's going to matter, because what they're going to want is a politician who they think they can win, not, you know, a guy who they'd want leading their church.
Speaking of affairs, same thing, of course, with Newt Gingrich admitting having an affair recently.
Right. That's especially lovely, as you pointed out, because he is very famous for hounding Bill Clinton for similar reasons in the 90s. It was very smart of Gingrich to get this out in the open now, and I believe he did it with Jim Dobson, focus on the family guy. He really is sort of laying his heart out to that evangelical audience. They also love a redemption narrative. It's a very classic Christian thing, you know, that God will forgive you if you admit your sins, and I think that's the effect he's going for. However, Gingrich does not have all the other positives that Giuliani has. So sitting here today, I would say that he'll be forgiven less merely because he has less to offer as a politician. And when it comes down to it, it's going to be the politics of it rather than the morality of it that probably wins the day for the candidate.
Yeah, well, why do you say that he doesn't have the politics?
Not so much that there's things wrong with him that they wouldn't like. Gingrich is a pretty fairly average, you know, vaguely right-wingy Republican, but he's been off the national scene for a pretty long time. He hasn't really done anything to establish himself as a potential winner or a potential superstar lately the way that a Giuliani has, or even a McCain, who has been one of the major voices still behind that Iraq war that most Americans are against, but a lot of the hardcore Republicans are still for. Mitt Romney running a major state, some innovations in the healthcare field that he can run on, Gingrich. And you know, having said that, I will say I've never made myself rich, you know, predicting who's gonna win elections. But I think this is more a last gasp for Gingrich than a triumphant return.
We're talking with Brian Doherty. He is senior editor of Reason Magazine. We're talking about the 2008 presidential race and some, recent revelations about character issues that are in the news. And we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll join Ben Marins this afternoon for At Issue between 4 and 6. After 5, Ben will talk with a critic of the new early daylight saving time, saying that this is not going to save energy for Americans. In fact, he says it will be just the opposite, and oil companies and Congress know it. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about the 2008 presidential race and how some people are looking at the candidate's character over the issues. A poll out saying that most of us, according to this poll, care more about honesty and integrity and character issues than we do about the issues. Is that true in your case? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're also examining another poll that took the names of the candidates out of the equation and asked people if they would vote for someone who's been divorced 2 times, or someone who is black, or someone who was a woman, or someone who was a Mormon. And we're looking at how these poll results jive with the current state of the presidential race. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And before we go to the phones, Brian Doherty, the piece that you wrote for Reason talked about this this poll that took the names out of it and asked about these various issues. What was your reaction to that poll and how... how we said we would, you say here that the results of that poll without the name show that Barack Obama might have the edge over everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Of the prejudices that these people polled were willing to admit to, only 5% of them said they would absolutely not vote for a black candidate, but 11% still say they absolutely would not vote for a woman. And when you get to certain other characteristics, like, say, being a Mormon, which a Republican Mitt Romney is, 24% say no way to a Mormon, and 30% say no way to someone who's married for the third time, like Rudy Giuliani. But as we discussed earlier, that prejudice doesn't seem to hold up when they do actually contemplate the person. And John McCain would seem to be in serious trouble from this poll, because 42% say they would not vote for someone 72 or older, which McCain will be. Interestingly, the biggest prejudice that American voters still have, according to this poll, is against atheists. A majority, 53%, say they would not vote for an atheist presidential candidate. I was amused by this poll. You know, I'm a libertarian, so anything that makes people question a politician, I cheer in a way. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually amused at these attempts to sort of pull out of people, what is it you really hate about a politician so much that you'd refuse to vote for him? But I do think that when you look at the poll results that actually do have the names in them, it's hard to take this seriously. I mean, I don't think it's ultimately going to be true if John McCain becomes the Republican candidate that 42% of voters would not even think of voting for him merely because it's old. They will not be judging an old man. They'll be judging John McCain, and I think they'll go from there.
Yeah, and the what do you make of the poll, though, that also says we consider character and honesty and integrity the most important things when it comes to our vote for president, and the candidate's stances on issues below that?
Well, that's I think very interesting for another point I got into in my piece. It's very hard for a voter who is concerned with issues, who really wants to know, what is my president going to do in office when faced with this situation? What policies will he push for? What policies will he fight against? It's really hard to know that, and our current president is a great example of this, because George Bush, of course, when he was running and in his first year, he was the guy who was against nation building, and here he is steadfastly sticking to this nation building mission in Iraq that's not working out. He claimed to be a fiscally conservative Republican, and he helped spearhead a incredibly expensive expansion in Medicare. Politicians, not to put too fine a point on it, whether they're absolutely liars or not, they do tend to shift as circumstances shift. And if you are trying to vote on the issues, you're bound to be disappointed. So it's more comfortable for a voter to think, okay, I don't really know what this guy's going to do about any specific thing, but if I feel that he's, in general, an honest and trustworthy man, I'm going to go for that. But, of course, I also don't think it's really possible for us to know if they're an honest and trustworthy man. And we run into the Giuliani problem again. I mean, on some level, at least, a guy who's been married 3 times and was having an affair with wife number 3 while married to wife number 2 is not trustworthy on at least some level. So it's hard to jive how well he's doing in the polls with voters claiming that honesty is the most important policy.
And you were saying earlier that you thought that evangelicals or the Christian right was willing to forgive a candidate like Rudy Giuliani that, whatever, transgression,
yeah,
based on his strengths in other areas.
Yeah.
But that's got to be hard to, that's got to be hard to resolve if that is such an important issue to you.
I imagine it would be. And, that probably plays into a very important number that I always like to stress when talking about elections, which is the enormous number, generally from 40 to 50%, of potential voters who choose not to vote at all. And it's very hard to know why they don't. I don't think there's a lot of good polling data of non-voters about why they don't vote. But I know when Cal Thomas, a religious conservative columnist, wrote on the right-wing site Town Hall about these issues, and he very much took the tack, hey, religious right, let's be politically realistic. Let's not look for Christian perfection in our candidates. There were a lot of people commenting on that who said, hey, if the Republicans nominate a candidate who I don't feel morally comfortable with, I'm just going to stay home. So I think that's probably how a lot of voters do resolve that conflict. They join the 40 to 50% of American voters who actually choose not to vote at all.
Yeah. Do you think, Brian Daugherty, that most of the religious right is completely aware, knows full well that Rudy Giuliani's been married 3 times and had an affair with, during those marriages?
I sure hope so. I would like to believe that anyone who's thinking of voting is paying attention to the candidates enough to know that. It seems to me it would be hard not to know it if you're paying attention. And I can guarantee you this, if it's a Giuliani-Clinton contest or a Giuliani-Barack Obama contest, you can be darn sure that Rudy's Democratic opponent is going to make sure that you know this about Rudy, because especially for Clinton, who has her own sort of difficult marriage issues surrounding her. I mean, everyone is aware of what her husband has been like in the past. I'm sure she is going to run hard against Rudy's own troubled past.
Let's take Gerard in Milwaukee first. Hi, Gerard.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on this notion of subjective thoughts about character. It seems to me that, you know, people have different ideas about what that means. Now, this gentleman writes for a magazine called Reason, and I just saw a poll not too long ago that said that 50% of Americans believe that the Earth was created 12,000 years ago. So it really doesn't surprise me that some people would use character as an issue or a criterion to judge someone's worthiness as a presidential candidate. And I'll take my comments off there. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a reaction to that, Brian?
Yeah, this also ties into what you just asked about, do people know? There's a lot of things that a lot of Americans don't know. Some of them have to do with matters of science, like the caller just brought up. Some of them might have to do with matters of policy or simply things in the news that they haven't been paying attention to. And for better or for worse, we all get to vote if we choose to vote, even though most of us don't. So noted, it's a valid point. Not every American voter goes into the electoral booth with a fully considered, intelligent awareness of either the issues or in some cases, even the facts of reality. But that is something that politicians have to be aware of and work around.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of Rudy Giuliani having such a big lead over John McCain and Mitt Romney, for that matter, in this race at this time?
I have to think it has a lot to do with the whole 9/11 war on terror issue. Giuliani has the best, most colorful, most vivid connection to the idea that he understands the crisis of the war on terror, and he is prepared to fight it vigilantly in the way that especially the Republican voter wants. I think that's probably the main factor, and I think he, the more, especially when you talk to New Yorkers, you realize that he kind of only has one direction to go the more people are exposed to him, because he's a very New York kind of character with all the negatives that implies. He's tough, he's snappy, he takes no guff, and I fully expect a lot of little explosions from Rudy Giuliani as the campaign goes down the road and gets tougher. He's a pistol, as they say, and could well go off in a way that will harm him. But for now, he's got the war on terror on his side.
We're talking with Brian Doherty. He is senior editor of Reason Magazine, talking about the race for 08 for president. Talking with Brian Doherty, some of about the issues raised in a recent piece he wrote entitled "Who Won't You Vote For in 2008." I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, March the 15th, and we're talking about character issues in the presidential race. And we have open lines for you to talk with us about whether it matters to you or not if a candidate, say, has been married three times, if a candidate has had an affair on his wife. Does that play into your voting decision? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm talking about this in part because Newt Gingrich recently revealed on national television that he had an affair with a young staffer who is now his wife while seeking President Bill Clinton's impeachment. And lots of people are talking about that. Also talking about this because Rudy Giuliani has been married 3 times, also had an affair in his past. And but that doesn't seem to be hurting him in the polls. He's ahead of John McCain right now. But another poll recently out said that character issues and honesty and integrity of a candidate was the most important reason that or most important thing that people would look at before voting for a presidential candidate. So how does this all jive? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. And now our lines are filling up. Brian Doherty is our guest. He is senior editor of Reason Magazine. And he wrote a piece for Reason Online that was entitled, Who Won't You Vote For in 2008? And I wanted to talk a little bit before we go to the phones, Brian Doherty, on the issues that you did bring up. You were talking about, why is it that we aren't? Would you vote for someone who voted to get us into a war that most Americans now see as a mistake?
Right, which is true of an enormous number of the candidates out there, from Hillary Clinton to John Edwards to John McCain to, on the Republican side, your Tom Tancredos and your Chuck Hagels. Yeah, it seems to me this should be the most important stuff. I mean, the election in 2006 was largely seen as a reaction to Americans being upset with the conduct of the war and occupation, and most of these candidates are as complicit in the fact that this is happening as George Bush, and you would think that that would be one of the major driving issues. It doesn't seem to be so much. I wonder if people would be comfortable voting for someone like Hillary Clinton, who in her last attempt to do something big on the national scale, the health care reform during her husband's presidency kind of pretty much completely fouled it up. A Rudy Giuliani, who not only has his personal moral issues, but also has supported public funding for abortion, who's running for the Republican presidency. These things, it strikes me, ought to be more important. But it's easier for a voter to know whether, say, a candidate's black or a woman, that's really obvious, or to know how many times have they been married, than to really be aware of the minutiae of their policies, which is another reason, I think, why it's easier for voters to say that these ethical issues are more important to them, because it's easier to understand that stuff than it is to understand, what would President Giuliani do if faced with this particular bill from Congress? You're not going to know that, so it's easier to go by other things, whether it be your general assessment of his honesty or, you know, what religion he is or whatever.
Yeah. Let's take Mona in Watertown first. Hi, Mona. You're on the air.
Great. Good morning. Thank you for having the show. I would vote for anybody regardless of what they've done, you know, short of murder or something on that order. If it's something like having an affair, though, the only thing that would make me rethink voting for them would be if they came out and said that they're a Christian but they had an affair. It would seem to me that there's a commandment that says something like you shouldn't cheat on your spouse. So how can you be a Christian and have an affair? That would make me consider them to be a hypocrite.
Well, that's then it matters to you that Rudy Giuliani and Newt Gingrich had affairs, and they admitted to it.
I really don't follow them. I mean, have they come out and been, you know, devoutly Christian? If they've come out and said, you know, that they're going to vote how the Bible or how their minister or religious cleric tells them to vote, then that would matter to me.
Yeah, and does that matter to you more, Mona, than stands on other issues?
Would you? No. Well, I think they all kind of, the war, of course, is important. The economy is important. Healthcare is important. Education is important. Everything is important. But is it more important? No. Would it make me less inclined to vote for that particular candidate? Yes.
Well, it matters. It does matter to Mona, Brian Doherty.
I think the point you rose was very interesting, that the more religious, the more moralistic the candidate has presented himself as being in other contexts, the more it will probably hurt them for voters who react the way Mona does. That is the hypocrisy that might bother them more than anything else. And in that case, actually, Giuliani, I think, gets a pass, because Giuliani has never really presented himself as any kind of super religious, moralistic person. Gingrich, with the whole Clinton impeachment thing behind him, probably is going to have a harder row to hoe on the hypocrisy matter.
And next we go to Jim in River Falls. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning. Well, I'd echo what Mona said. It's Newt's hypocrisy, being a hypocrite, that bothers me more than his affairs. But he, you know, that's what troubles me the most. But I kind of disagree with your guest a little bit in that I don't think Hillary Clinton would be as culpable as George Bush regarding the Iraq mess, because while she voted for this disaster, at least she didn't get out and pump this to us with a bunch of lies like the Bush administration did. She just fell in line with, stuck her finger in the wind and said, which way are the political winds blowing? That's the way I'll vote. That would make me disinclined to vote for her. I'd rather see somebody like Russ Feingold, who was right on the money from the beginning, but unfortunately he isn't with us in this campaign.
Reaction, Brian Doherty?
Yeah, I hope there are lots of voters in the Democratic primaries like this caller, because I do think that her just going with the political winds was a gross error and a gross attack on her own integrity and intelligence as a politician. And I would like to see every politician who supported this war be punished for it. But we'll see how it turns out. And he's also right that there's not that many strongly, purely right about the war all along people out there to vote for. So perhaps we should just judge on what they say they're going to do in the future. And if she repents, which I don't think she's done enough, she hasn't explicitly disavowed everything about that vote, and I'd like to see her do that before I feel comfortable with her as an anti-war candidate.
All right. Daniel in De Pere is next. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I don't hold it against senators or congressmen that voted for this war and have gone ahead and changed their minds and are against the war now. The way I see it, most of the evidence leading up to this war was cherry-picked. In essence, the administration lied us into this war. And I'm actually proud of these people that have gone in and taken a closer look at the evidence and found out that it was a bunch of baloney and have changed their mind. That, to me, is not a flip-flopper. That's somebody who has actually had an opportunity to go in and educate themselves further. So I don't hold that against anybody who has voted for the war and now says that they are against the war.
Public radio listeners care about the war issue more than they do about the character issue, it seems. But your reaction to that, Brian Doherty?
Yeah, it's a fair tack to take that the caller just took. But I would say that there was the evidence out there from the beginning for people who were paying attention that the war was a bad idea. It's not that everyone in the world had the wool pulled over their eyes by Bush, that the unaware politician would have known from the beginning that this was a bad idea. So I'm a little less forgiving, but on the war issue. But that's what makes a democracy, differences of opinion.
You don't have to say, but is your man Ron Paul, the former Libertarian Party candidate who's now running as a Republican?
Yeah, he was good on the war all along. Ron is going to have a very, very, very tough path to take. From the very beginning, he's not being treated as a serious candidate or even as a candidate at all by many polls, despite the fact that he is officially in the race. Most polls are still not including him, even polls that include people who are not in the race. His hardcore libertarian ideas are extremely unpopular, especially with the media. But for anyone looking for a candidate who has been 100% against the war from day one, Republican Congressman Ron Paul is a good place to look, and he is officially running.
We're talking about the race for 2008, the 2008 presidential race. I think we're just going to broaden it out to talk about any issue you want to talk about when it comes to this. We were starting with the character issues, and a new poll showing that most of us, according to this poll, care more about character than we do about the issues in terms of the candidates' stances on issues. Is that you or not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest, Brian Doherty, senior editor of Reason Magazine. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Brian Doherty, senior editor of Reason Magazine, about issues in the race for president. And our next caller is Joan in Shorewood. Hi, Joan. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I think it's probably accurate that the American people support the solid character over position on the issues, but the American people are somewhat immature and narrowly focused on just the issues dealing with the third commandment, if you're a Christian, or rather, thou shalt not get a divorce, you know, marriage fidelity. And I think that concept is very narrow. It's only a narrow focus on all the issues that deal with sex. There's a far broader dimension that needs to be looked at in terms of character, because after all, a political candidate would know very well that people will vote for him on the basis of his fidelity in marriage, and maybe know that he can't afford politically to get a divorce and be having affairs behind the scenes, which he keeps very secret. If the American people want to vote on the basis of character, they need to broaden the focus. After all, there are other issues. A man's private life doesn't have as big an impact on the American public as his the public issues of whether or not we go to war, on cutting funds for social programs and then spending them on the military. That type of thing has a far greater impact on our lives as the American public and voters than just whether or not he has an affair or a divorce. That really doesn't affect us, mm-hmm. although it's not to be condoned. But we need to broaden the focus and look at the issues.
I appreciate that, Joan. But you don't personally worry that if someone cheats on his wife or her husband, that he or she will lie to us as voters?
It certainly is not a mark in his favor. Mm-hmm. But if we were to eliminate all the presidents who had affairs behind the scenes, I don't know if we'd have anybody in the presidency.
Mm-hmm. Brian Doherty?
If we can consider the callers today sort of an informal poll mm-hmm. of Wisconsin listeners, I'm very pleased to see that, in fact, the American people do care more about the issues, and I think that that's wonderful. I think what this points out is how traditional, you know, fundamentalist-type Christian values really have lost their hold on the American public, to the point where it's impossible, apparently, even for the Republican Party to find a candidate who lives up to them. And as someone with my libertarian beliefs who does believe that a variety of ways of life should be tolerated and even in some cases celebrated, I think that's a great thing. I think is an example of how fundamentalist Christianity as a dominating force in our country is on its way out, and even within the party that's been their traditional stronghold.
Thanks, Joan, very much. David in Waterford, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. You know, I just wanted to chime in. I have a little bit of a bias because I lived in New York and am familiar with Giuliani and really enjoyed him as the mayor. And but it's interesting, I might be one of those people that are put into the box called evangelical Christians as well. And so what I feel in my point of view is that, like, the Christian message basically talks about people are not perfect and we all fall short of God's standards. So the issue really is to turn around and turn and make a new leaf. That's sort of how it works in a simplistic point of view. So, but you know, then you look at a trend, so like three different marriages that could show he has like some problems with relationships and such. So I think it's a deeper thing for than what your guest has just sort of summarized about that we're focused more on issues than character. So in other words, while I still have a personal point of view about him as a leader, his decisions in his life still impact me. So it gives me some reluctance to until I get more understanding of what his current state mm-hmm. of mind and his philosophies are.
I appreciate that, David. So it is making you think twice about whether you fully support him.
Correct.
Brian Doherty?
Yeah, that fits in with what we were talking about mm-hmm. at the start of the hour, that the poll that we started off talking about tried to express these things in absolute terms. If a guy had this quality, whether it be being black or being a Mormon or being three times married, would you not vote for him at all? And you saw large numbers saying no. What the caller has just expressed here is doubtless going to be true of most voters, that it may be a factor. It's something you're going to think about, but by no means are you going to take it as a categorical imperative that I'm going to refuse to vote for this guy just because he has this quality in his personal life, that you will be willing to look at other things that are specific to that person, not just the fact that they've been married three times.
Thank you, David. Sarah in Delafield. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my mm-hmm. call. My comment was to sort of separate religion and morality in saying that it's more a matter of moral ethics in as far as someone cheating on their spouse, because whether you're religious or not, having that respect for that other person not to cheat on them, because basically you made a promise when you got married. So if I were voting for somebody similar to the last caller, I would definitely take into account if they did cheat on their spouse, it wouldn't be the overriding factor in my vote, but I would question the qualities of that person morally, not so much as far as religion, but just from a moral standpoint. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for expressing your opinion and a reaction, Brian Doherty.
It sounds like Gallup should do a follow-up poll that tries to do this more intelligently, that does sort of the five-category kind of poll where it's not at all likely, slightly likely, because it does seem that people's opinions about these things are way more nuanced than the simple would not vote for under any circumstances, would vote for duality that this poll we're talking about tried to present. The American people and our listeners here have much more nuanced views than that.
Yeah. We're kind of picking on Giuliani and Gingrich because their marriages and affairs are, a little bit more well-known. But didn't John McCain have a little bit of marital issues, too?
Yeah, McCain's in the same boat.
Yeah.
He hasn't recently been talking about them publicly.
Yeah.
We did have an earlier caller, as I recall, who wasn't even really aware of the Giuliani and Gingrich thing, which
mm-hmm.
which is amazing on some level, but really does bring home a point that's important to remember when it comes to analyzing polls and analyzing elections, is not every voter is going to have at their command every relevant fact, and yet they're still going to be out there able to vote to begin with, which is interesting to think about. I'm not sure what ultimate conclusion we can come to on that, but not every voter is an educated voter, and that's something we should keep in mind.
Yeah. Let's go next to Mark in McHenry, Illinois. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy and Brian. I take a little bit different tack with this. I do definitely want to vote on issues because I believe it's the issues that affect us the most, like a previous caller said. Frankly, though, in terms of the candidates and their ethical character, et cetera, frankly, I consider the system in this country so corrupted and the drive to power in this system so potentially corrupting that I'm frankly suspicious of anybody who even wants the job.
All right. Brian Doherty?
I agree 100%. I actually had a little joke about that in my original piece with writing about how running for president constitutes sufficient reason to refuse on principle to vote for someone. I agree with you 100%. The powers that the U.S. president holds are so awesome and so terrifying that it does make you wonder about anyone who actually thinks that they want that responsibility. It's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I guess we have less than a minute to go. Lots can change over the next, at least a year before the primaries, just about?
Oh, of course. Yeah, on one level, it's almost silly that we're even having a conversation that's this detailed about candidates. Because if you look back to this sort of polling this far before previous elections, you're never anywhere near what's really going to happen. There's so much that can change. You know, we're talking Giuliani, Clinton now. Goodness knows what we'll be talking about a year from now, much less after the conventions. But it keeps us all entertained, I guess, and hopefully that's fine. But yeah, a lot can change.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will, and I hope we talk again. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Doherty, senior editor of Reason Magazine. Thanks to Leo Durand for producing this hour and for on-air production. Thank you for listening. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of the talk shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, you can call the radio store 1-800-747-7444 and ask for the program by the date and topic. You can also listen to our talk shows archived on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.